Hello and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. We held a webinar on last-minute application tips from PSLF Waiver very recently, and we had hundreds and hundreds of people from the community on the webinar. And I just thought it would be really good to repurpose that webinar because I think it's got a lot of good information about what you can do to try to get last-minute credit added to your payment account for pursuing the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. So a little bit of an untraditional podcast episode. I hope you enjoy, and thanks so much for listening.
It's going to be fun. That's the goal, is to make it fun and help people get PSLF. So Megan, if you wanted to just start it off, just maybe going over, just we're going to do folks a high-level presentation. The other person we have joining us tonight is Sierra from our team. She's going to be hiding in the background. She's just going to be helping us out in the chat, helping respond to folks in the chat, trying to give useful resources. And with this many folks tonight, we're going to do our very best to try to answer as many questions as possible. Let's kick off with just talking about the high-level PSLF waiver stuff, Megan.
Sure. So the PSLF waiver, if you're on our email list, you're pretty well informed about what it's all about, what rules it has changed, but just a high-level overview. Think about the PSLF waiver as a second chance at getting credit towards PSLF for previously ineligible payments or ineligible months. That's a good way to think about it. This is still relevant to people who aren't going to get forgiveness immediately, because you could get credit for prior payments that get you a lot closer to loan forgiveness. And that locks itself in even after October 31st, as long as you take action now. So with that said, high level, the need to take action, we have to take action by October 31st. And the requirements for, or some of the things to know for the PSLF waiver, we have to still have 10 years of qualifying employment or 120 payments to be eligible for immediate cancellation. So that's still true. It has always been true. That has not changed. To get credit, we have to be at a qualifying employer full-time, 10 years. 120 payments is key. So if you're not quite there yet, that's okay. You're on your way. What has changed with the PSLF waiver is that all repayment plans count. So if you're looking back at your payment history and there was ever a period of time where you were not on an income-driven plan, but you were still full-time with an eligible employer, that can now count towards PSLF. So that's great. You would just need to submit an employment certification form for that time period. Another thing that has changed or has been waived with this waiver is that all federal loans can now qualify. You traditionally need to have direct loans to be eligible for PSLF. If you have or had in the past FFEL loans or Perkins loans that you had made payments on while you were full-time at an eligible employer, you can now go back and get credit for those payments, but you have to take action with consolidation first. So if you don't have the correct loan types, you have to consolidate to convert those into direct loans for them to be eligible for this. So those are two things. We can get credit on past payments for any repayment plan. We can get credit on the wrong types of loans previously. We just need to consolidate to get credit. Consolidation does not reset your payment count as long as it's done by October 31st. And that just means that you have to have the application submitted by October 31st through studentaid.gov. So that's an online application that you can do for free. It takes maybe 10, 15 minutes to go through. It does make you apply for an income-driven plan or a repayment plan as well. So just know that. And one of the last things I'll touch on here is certain deferments or forbearances can now count towards PSLF as long as you were working at an eligible employer during those times. Some of the requirements there is that it had to be 12 months of consecutive forbearance or 36 months or more of cumulative forbearance. So if they go back and look at your loan file and you were in forbearance for all of your residency period, 4 years, that whole residency period could count towards PSLF as long as you were full-time with an eligible employer for residency. You would need to submit an employment certification form to be eligible for that. But yeah, I'll throw it over to you, Travis.
Cool. So in really basic terms, right? A lot of people had the wrong kind of loans back in the day. So this program was like not well designed. They didn't think through all the details and dot all the I's and cross the T's. So people have all these loans, different payment counts, different kinds of loans. And a lot of people are wondering, like, what should I do? Megan, I think if we were talking to like the average person that's pursuing this program that's had a kind of a stable income, like that they haven't had like an exponential type of income, just your typical public servant, I don't know what you think about this, but I would say that you should just consolidate everything and then also simultaneously apply for the PSLF waiver at studentaid.gov/PSLF. So studentaid.gov/PSLF. So you can do both of these things at the same time. Earlier on, we were kind of saying, you know, consolidate first because it was plenty of time, right? Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of time, consolidate first, then submit your PSLF application, right? And the layman's terms of all that technical information is basically that all the normal rules do not apply until October 31st when they do. So I was trying to come up with some sort of funny Halloween analogy because it's literally expiring on Halloween. But this is like a student loan horror movie where you can survive the villain who's trying to kill everybody, like the student loan villain, right? You can survive. But if you don't apply by Halloween, there's nothing in some cases that can be done to get a lot of credit for those past qualifying payments, some of these loans, pre-consolidation, right? This is really one of the best opportunities ever for public servants to get PSLF forgiveness. And there's all these rules that are temporarily waived that all come back in place for people who apply for this after October 31st, right? So is that kind of a summary? I'm trying to spice it up a little bit to throw in some Halloween jokes and, you know, I'm trying to feel like myself again. Those of you know that, you know, I've been dealing with having a baby in the NICU the past couple months. So I'm just trying to throw as many dad jokes at the wall as possible to keep you guys engaged, because I want as many public servants as possible to get this forgiveness. And there's still stuff that can be done all the way until the last second.
Yep. I think that's a good summary. I think if you're in doubt, Department of Education is giving people every incentive at this point to consolidate. There does not seem to be a downside. I do see in the chat, though, a lot of questions about Parent PLUS loans. So I do want to address that real quickly, because Parent PLUS loans are a different beast. So Parent PLUS loans, if you just have Parent PLUS loans, you don't have loans of your own, but you just have Parent PLUS loans, those are not eligible for this PSLF waiver. They can be eligible for PSLF if you were to consolidate and work towards PSLF going forward, but they do not have any qualifying credit if they're still in that raw Parent PLUS loan form. If you have your own loans and Parent PLUS loans, your loans can give those Parent PLUS loans credit towards PSLF if you've been full-time in public service. So you would be someone who would make sense to look at consolidation, because your loans carry a lot of that payment history that can be credited to those Parent PLUS. Just one word of caution is when you consolidate Parent PLUS loans with your own loans, you only have access to one income-driven plan called income contingent repayment. That's 20% of your discretionary income, so a little more expensive than the other plans. But if it's a matter of getting, you know, 8 years of credit towards PSLF right now or not, go ahead and consolidate and then deal with the higher payment later on. There is a process called double consolidation that we talk a lot about on our website. It is a loophole. It is too late to do that before the October 31st deadline. So that is not something that I think you can successfully achieve if you haven't already started it.
So the only people that I would say don't consolidate for this PSLF waiver are people who maybe they're like physicians, right? And they were in residency back in 2018, 2019, the last time they recertified their income, and they've got like $200-$300 a month payments. And those payments for many people are now good all the way until 2024, because the Biden administration's put off people recertifying their IDR payments, right? So those people might not want to consolidate, because maybe you're an attending physician now making a lot of money. Most public servants are not, you know, don't have that luxury, right? So that's why we wanted to kind of clarify things. Like a lot of times, because we talk to people in all different types of professions, we talk, you know, a certain way because there's different strategies based on what profession you're in. So for the typical like teacher, firefighter, nurse, government, you know, employee, I do think the smart thing to do, right, is just go ahead and consolidate your loans.
Yeah.
So how would somebody consolidate? Like, is there a link that we tell people and like details of like how to go about consolidating loans for the PSLF waiver?
There is. So we do have a YouTube video on consolidation. It's Sem and I talking about how to consolidate, but you would go to studentaid.gov, you know, on loan repayment, you drop down and there's a consolidate section. So that's where you would go. You'd log into your account. And it takes you through everything. It pulls through all of your loan details. So you don't really need to have anything handy. You just need to go through it. It links back to your most recently filed tax return to verify income when you're applying for the repayment plan. So having 2021's taxes handy might be helpful. So you can plug in what your AGI was, the adjusted gross income, so you know exactly what to expect your payment to be when things kick back in January. That gets submitted to MOHELA. Consolidations are taking about 30 to 45 days right now. But again, remember, you just have to have it submitted. That's all you have to do, get it submitted, and it'll get processed when it does.
So I'm on studentaid.gov. So I'm at the site to consolidate. And now you're saying I go to consolidate. So I'm looking for that number. If I'm a borrower, what tab should I go to find consolidate? It looks like it's under this loan repayment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So loan repayment, and there's a button that says consolidate loans. So loan repayment, consolidate loans. So I'm going to go there. And there's this really cool thing that we like to show people in consults. This is a demo. So you're going to log into your file and you're going to see all of your loans, right? So ideally, people would have the whole thing checked, all their loans, right?
Yep.
And for the Parent Plus borrowers you were talking about, you know, if somebody's going to hit 10 years at a public sector employer and they've already got like several years of credit, you know, at this point, don't you think it's probably a good idea to just go ahead and consolidate if they're close? Because ICR payments can be really high, but at least we can get all that extra credit applied, right? So have everything checked. And then they have, I have a question, add loans. This would be like if you have Perkins, Megan, or you know, what are some other ones?
Well, actually, HPSL? Perkins loans will populate under that like warning up there. So if you have Perkins loans, they'll populate. But if you need to add health professional loans or LDS loans for disadvantaged dental students, there's a couple loan types that can be added there. And they'll add them into the consolidation in that section.
Sure. So process it right away. And then servicer selection, you're working for a public service, say yes. Loan servicer, select MOHELA.
So this warning is important. So it pops up with a little warning that just says, hey, MOHELA is going to be your loan servicer, but it's processed by AidVantage. Don't let that throw you off. That is normal. AidVantage will communicate with you and kind of act like they're going to be your servicer, but MOHELA is ultimately who it will be.
Sure. So now we estimate payments. So basically just put in what your most recent adjusted gross income was in your taxes and just enter this all this information in. Now, if you are at 120 or more payments, we kind of tell people just go ahead and select a standard plan, right? Because we think that they're already at the 120. So that just saves you from having to go through the, you know, the income documentation part of things. So if you're already at 10 years worth of payments or credit, then you just select standard. If not, maybe go ahead and select, you know, pay as you earn is what we typically suggest for people pursuing PSLF, right? So then continue. And then there's all this legalese. Megan, is any of this important?
Yes and no. A lot of it's generic. What's important is we're keeping the loans federal. In here, it does talk about PSLF, but the PSLF information is not relevant because the waiver kind of supersedes this language. So don't panic if you see that consolidation erases payment history or that you have to be on an income-driven plan for PSLF. That is true in a normal, like outside of this PSLF waiver, but the waiver language supersedes a lot of this consolidation language here, if that makes sense.
So just say that I understand it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. That was a long answer.
And then just enter in all these this information. It wants me to give them references. So is this going to be like, do I need them for when I work at the CIA? Or what are the references for?
Yep. So this is if you were to stop making payments and they could not contact you, they would reach out to one of these people to see if you had moved or if you had died. So they're probably not going to use this information, but it is required. You have to put it in there. It has to be two people that don't live with you and don't live with each other.
I don't think I've ever heard of them contacting a single reference
in
the thousands of people that we've helped. Yeah. So just certify and sign information, continue, and then submit. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So now the second step is studentaid.gov/PSLF, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we go to PSLF and there's this help tool. So what is this help tool going to do, Megan?
So this help tool pre-populates all of the employment certification form details. It is crucial that you do this through the PSLF help tool, because if you save your information, your employers through the PSLF help tool, and it's captured within studentaid.gov, even before you get it signed, it is seen as submitted by October 31st.
So that's big. Can you repeat that?
Yes. So submitting your information through this PSLF help tool will save your employment certification form in studentaid.gov. that you can refer back to in your documents. And that satisfies the deadline for October 31st. You still have to get it signed for it to ultimately be processed. But if you're worried about the deadline or worried about getting signatures back in time, as long as you've done it through this PSLF help tool, you're good to go for the October 31st deadline and just get it signed as soon as you can.
So it looks like I can even search and see if my employer even qualifies, right? How do I do this?
Yep. So you would need the EIN number or the employer's identification number, which you can find on your W-2, the most recent W-2 from taxes. You could plug it in. Don't put the dash though. It does not like dashes for the EIN, but you could search it and make sure that it is in fact eligible. And when you sign in and you do this under your own name, it'll do the same thing. This is just an option if you don't want to sign in.
But this is just a very helpful way to just use this tool. And the goal is to get a completed ECF form, right? Employer certification mm-hmm. form with everything yep. but the signatures. And so we're saying that if you forget about this until literally the kids are trick-or-treating and you apply to consolidate and you generate this ECF form even on Halloween, we're saying that that's okay. You'll still get credit for the PSLF waiver. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. That's really big.
As long as you ultimately get it signed, but yes.
That's really big. So obviously we've got a gazillion questions. One thing that we want to do is actually do some like actual like file analysis. So I'm going to put my email in here. Travis@studentloanplanner.com. If you want to send me your NSLDS file, we're going to anonymize them. And I think we'll probably not be able to get to that many just because of how many folks are on the call tonight. Let's see. So I am going to put the details in the chat on how to download your NSLDS file. And I'm going to send this to everyone. So that's how you get an NSLDS file. And if you email it to Travis@studentloanplanner.com, we'll review a couple of these later in today's webinar. So we've got a gazillion questions to choose from. I'm going to just scan through some of these. One of the things that I'm seeing people make a lot of mistakes with is they're not putting all of their employment credit on file. They make assumptions. Mm-hmm. You don't want to make assumptions here. You want to get all credit that you've ever had at a qualifying employer since October 2007. And you want the government to be the ones to make that determination as to whether or not that qualifies, not you. So I've got a lot of people that almost feel guilty. Like, I don't know about you, Megan, but they're like, oh, I was only a research assistant, or oh, I was only like right. a teaching assistant, or I was only they like minimize their public service and they almost like don't want to like count it for some reason. I'm like, get it on file. That counts. Yeah. Get all qualifying credit on file. So that's one really big mistake that we see. And so let's maybe scan some of these, Megan, and just see mm-hmm. if you see any kind of like common themes here.
Yeah, I see a lot about the employment certification form. Do you have to use the PSLF help tool? I would say, do you have to? No, but it is highly recommended. I would not do it by hand. And if you can mail it in certified mail, that's ideal. That way you know for a fact that Mohila received it. If we have old employment certification forms and uploaded them to Mohila, will they still be processed? So yes, if you had previously completed employment certification forms and maybe you were at FedLoan at the time, if you want to go ahead and upload them to Mohila, you can. FedLoan is sending all of those old forms over to Mohila. They're doing it in batches from what we understand. So if you haven't gotten an update on your PSLF payment count, but you know, and you have confirmed that it was submitted, you should be okay, but you could just, you could upload it to Mohila as well if you wanted to be safe. Let's see. Do you have to consolidate first? I think you can do them both at the same time. So you can consolidate and submit the employment certification form. The form will tell you, it'll recognize if you don't have the right loans. And sometimes it's a little outdated or it's not as updated. So it might tell you that you don't have the right loans or that you're in forbearance, for example, and that you need to get out. You could ignore that. We're still in the COVID forbearance, which does count towards PSLF for free. And if you know that you've already consolidated, don't panic about the language that's on that actual instruction form. Just get that signed document submitted. Let's see. What if I can't get it signed? So if you can't get it signed, there is an option to check a box on the form that says you are unable to get a signature from your employer. That is going to delay your process in the sense of they're going to go back and check that, of course, the employer is eligible, but they're also going to ask you for additional proof that you did, in fact, work there. So that can include W-2s, or really any other confirmation that you can give them to prove that you did work there during those times if you cannot get it signed by an authorized official. And an authorized official can be an HR person, a direct supervisor. So if the entity is still open, you should be able to get that reasonably signed. If it's closed or totally closed down, you don't have any contact information for people you worked with, that's when you can maybe use that option to not have to get it signed. Lots of their employers list EIN numbers online. I found mine by Googling. This is more of a comment. And that is true. You can search your employer online. You do just want to triple check that that's your specific EIN number, because the W-2 will show you your specific EIN number. That's the one that you want to have on your form. You want to prevent any problems. So if it's not the correct EIN number, you take that to get it signed by the employer and they cross it out. That's going to probably be a problem. If anything's altered on that form, like the dates of your employment or the EIN number, that could get rejected when you send it back because it's been kind of tampered with, you could say, after it's been printed from the employment or the PSLF help tool. So make sure you have that information correct from the get-go. I just consolidated and my account says my balance is zero. It won't let me create an account with Mohila yet. What's going on? So that is common right now. If you recently consolidated or you were informed that you're being moved from FedLoan to Mohila, your account may show that you don't have anything, you don't have a balance. You are probably in this processing limbo, which at some point, I would say within about a week or two, you should see your balance repopulate within studentaid.gov, assuming that you're not already at the loan forgiveness. And Mohila it'll allow you to open an account and create an account with Mohila to see your payment information. Do you have a file yet, Travis, that you want to go through?
I do, yeah. So a couple other thoughts real quick about, so we're getting a lot of questions about like this, these lawsuits that were filed, right? So initially I was really worried about this because they actually, like some of the lawsuits like say that the HEROES Act, they're arguing is unconstitutional. The HEROES Act is this legislation from 2003 that allows the Department of Ed to make all these changes. And so if that law was struck down, then all the PSLF waiver stuff could be struck down. The good news is the point of this lawsuit is to go after cancellation, which also uses the same authority. So we think that this is not going to mess with the PSLF waiver. We think that the PSLF waiver already has too much money out the door. We think that the take-up rate for the PSLF rate waiver, frankly, has been so low that it's not a priority for opponents of student loan relief to target the PSLF waiver specifically. So the answer to all these questions about can I get the 10,000 cancellation and PSLF waiver? Yes, you can under the announced rules. Just know that these lawsuits are going to be like providing a little bit of headline risk. So it's just going to be scary to see these lawsuits just out there. And you're going to get like news notifications like, you know, judge makes ruling in XYZ case. And it's probably not going to apply to you. The one thing, Megan, that I'm a little bit more concerned about is the forbearance and deferment counting. Mm-hmm. That's not supposed to be processed until 2023 in summer. And the reason why I'm a little concerned about that is like, you know, if you have all these lawsuits and like the COVID emergency gets struck down by some court or something, then the forbearance deferment counting stuff is the thing that might not happen. I think it probably will, but it's something that like the PSLF waiver to me is a lot more secure than the IDR waiver, which is supposed to be the stuff that counts the forbearance and deferments because just the timing and everything. So let's look at an actual file. So this is a $358,000 balance. This person's already consolidated their loans. So if we see their direct consolidated loans, we can tell with our spreadsheet tools that they've got about 101 months of total payments ever. And then they've got a bunch of loans from sort of back in the day that were probably consolidated into these loans. So like a couple things to note, like this person's clearly already consolidated. So you've already got that out of the way. So then you have to make sure that you've filed your employer certification form correctly. If we were doing a consult, we would go through this like in great detail over the course of an hour. And we would say, okay, this is exactly the amount of credit that we think that you should have. If we look at the loans in terms of their repayment history, we can see that a lot of these loans were kind of originated in the late 2000s, which makes sense to me. And then they were in repayment as of like 2009, 2010. So you do have to have qualifying credit. Like you have to actually have been working for a qualifying employer to get credit. And this person, you know, has this payment credit varying starting in 2009. And it looks like these consolidation loans happened they started repayment in 2013. So this is a case in point for the PSLF waiver. We're looking at some of these older FFEL loans and saying it looks like this 28 months of credit preceded the consolidation. And so this person's a career public servant. Since 28 is plus 101 is more than 120, this person's probably going to get PSLF like forgiveness after they apply and have to just wait the period of time that they need to. Some people want to know, are they getting a refund if it puts them over 120? In terms of like consolidation, Megan, I don't think that they would get that if the 28, you know, if they do a consolidation and it puts them over 120. Megan, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure you just get it forgiven. You don't get the refund in that case, right?
Correct. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. Because we had the FFEL loans. FFEL loans aren't eligible for the refund, unfortunately, or payments sure. made on those.
So Megan, what do we think about the timeline for the PSLF waiver? Like how fast should somebody be expecting to hear back from these folks?
Yeah. So consolidation, if you had to consolidate, is going to take 30 to 45 days. And then after that, that's when they're able to review your account for PSLF. So if you've already submitted an employment certification form, they'll probably send you a notice that they've received it first and that your employer is eligible. That usually happens within a couple of weeks to maybe a month. Then they start reviewing your payment counts. But first, and this is important, they're first applying the original rules for PSLF. So don't be surprised if you've already got a payment count update that says your payment count is zero if you just consolidated, or it's really low compared to what you thought it should be. Language in that letter that they sent you is important to read because it does clearly say that they're still working on your payment counts. They're applying the TE PSLF or the temporary PSLF waiver. They're applying that secondary. So they'll send you an update with the original PSLF rules. The payment count may look low. That'll probably be within 2 to 3 months. And then shortly after that, maybe a couple weeks at a time, you'll get more updates about your payment count that start to make more sense. So the process for them updating things is clunky. You know, again, don't panic with the first round of updates that they send you on your payment counts. They will look low, but they will continue to start making more sense as they apply the waiver. So I would say all in all, if you didn't have to consolidate, probably 3 months would be what your expectation is to see a payment count that makes sense. If you had to consolidate, probably 4 to 5 months is what you're expecting for the response. And it could be shorter. I've seen people have gotten it back shorter, but I would expect longer. I'd expect probably by end of the year or early 2023 before you get an update.
Yeah, a couple of people are asking about the injunction potentially that might be coming out. What does that mean for my PSLF stuff? Like, should I be afraid? So what has been going on with IDR and PSLF waivers is they've really flown under the radar, right? So people have just not been really worked up about them because this stuff's really wonky. And I think we recognized right away that this was a massive opportunity. But most people, including House Democrats, House Republicans, and people in the Senate, were just like, you know, it was kind of like a lukewarm like kind of thing. And the student loan cancellation is really easy to understand. You're wiping away hundreds of billions of debt and it just receives a lot of media attention, right? It's just been the focal point for student loan policy for such a long time. And that's why we're seeing all these lawsuits now. In terms of like how many lawsuits we're seeing, it's just a crazy amount. The most serious one is the one from the Republican attorneys general in several states. The October 12th and 13th date, this is just like the first court hearing that's like the big serious case that we think could stop some of this stuff. This is the case to really watch. And this is just something that the judge is holding a hearing October 12th. If the judge decides to put an injunction in place, it would probably be just for student loan cancellation and not the PSLF waiver. But this is why we're telling people to apply early and as quickly as possible too. We don't think that you're at risk from this, but this is just something to be aware of, that if you see on October 13th, which I think is a Thursday, maybe, you know, if you see a student loan injunction, that's probably not going to be applying to you. In terms of whether or not we think that they will extend it, I don't think that they will. And Megan, what you just said is why. 4 month processing time, they don't have unlimited number of people working on these programs, and they're trying to rush as much of this relief as possible through before potentially Republicans retake the House of Representatives, which is what the greater than 50% likelihood according to like election models, right? So I think that's why they want to end it October 31st, is not because they don't want to get relief to people, but because they want to take everybody working on the PSLF waiver and move them over to working on cancellation. And then when they're done getting the big wave of cancellation done, they want to move them over to the IDR waiver. But this court injunction could really throw a lot of stuff up in the air. What do you do if a court orders you to stop working on cancellation? Do you take those people and put them back on the PSLF waiver and extend that to the end of the year? It's possible, but we want to go with what we know, which is that you can get this relief from the PSLF waiver and not speculate. And we don't want people waiting longer than they should be. So just one of my famous Travis rants. I'm sorry, Megan, I can't help myself. What other questions are we seeing in the chat?
Let's see. If you worked in public service before you took out loans, does this time count? So no. Payments or months are only going to count while you were full-time in public service. So that is key. That is ironclad, has never changed. Grace periods, so the 6 months after graduation, does not count towards PSLF. It can't. And then in-school deferment does not count as well. So if you went back to school or if you were working full-time while you were in school, that time on when you're in-school deferment will not count, unfortunately. Let's see, uploading PSLF employment certification form versus mailing it certified or both. So if you already have MOHELA as your loan servicer, upload that form to MOHELA. If you do not have MOHELA, then I would recommend mailing it certified. There is a fax number on the form too, but those have been getting processed significantly slower for whatever reason. So I would suggest mailing certified mail if you don't have MOHELA as your loan servicer already.
I got another one we can look at. This, I think, is a good one because this is someone that I don't think should consolidate their loans, which is good because we just looked at an example of somebody who had already consolidated. And here's why I don't think that you would consolidate these loans. So we've got the Winter Soldier owes $210,000. I think that's a superhero, right? So if we look at all of the loans, all direct, right? So that's one thing I see. Megan, we also see like about 75, 76 months of potentially qualifying credit, right? So all about the same number of months. No Perkins loans in this picture either. So Megan, one thing that I know that you probably would see right away is pay as you earn is this person's repayment plan. They've got an $87 a month payment until 2023. Talk about why consolidation could really cost this person money in this case because of losing that payment.
Yes. So this person, there's no need to consolidate because the direct loans are all pretty much the same payment count towards PSLF, maybe 75, 76. The Perkins loans were paid off. So those are not part of the equation anymore. So if you were to consolidate right now, there's no benefit because all of your loans have the same payment count. You already have the correct types of loans. And when you consolidate, you have to reapply for the income-driven plan. So they're already on pay as you earn. Their monthly payment is scheduled to be $87 when payments kick back in January. So they get to retain that payment from January all the way into July of 2023. So they've been pushing recertification dates every time they've pushed this extension that we've had. So this person does not have to update income until July of 2023, which means if they did consolidate right now and they had to update their payment, they'd probably have, depending on where their income is now, probably hundreds of dollars of a payment between now and July, which would cost them quite a bit of money, you know, probably a couple thousand if you were to consolidate right now. So this is a great example of someone who shouldn't.
Right. So, I mean, I think ultimately, like, we wanted to do this webinar primarily because we know that there's a lot of people out there that cannot afford our services. And if you're one of those people out there, thank you for the public service that you do. It's incredibly important. It's incredibly valuable. And we get that public service, you don't get into it because of the money and you might not have the funds, especially with like higher inflation and everything, to afford our consul service. So if that's you, thank you for what you do. And what we wanted to try to get across with this webinar is go ahead and consolidate if your income's pretty stable and go ahead and apply for the PSLF waiver at studentaid.gov/PSLF. Do those two things and that's going to cover most of what you need. And in the case of this particular person, this probably is a recent graduate. He or she probably finished school recently, got to use a year where they maybe only made income from September to January, you know, to January. And by recalculating that payment might go from 80 a month to, you know, 400 a month. And now you've cost yourself 300 a month times 12. So if it was as simple as step one, two, three, obviously we wouldn't have a consulting business, which is fine if we didn't. We would just be financial planners in general, I think, if we didn't have student loans. But we did want to show you guys just this broad stuff that a lot of people could benefit from to make sure that you're part of this group of people that's going to get that help. And the other thing that we would ask, we're not close to being done yet. I just wanted to preach a little bit. The other thing that I would ask is that you would evangelize for the PSLF waiver, for the lack of a better term. You are in the know. And by being in the know, that means you could be the most popular coworker in your organization by telling your friends about this. And I think student loans can be a kind of a taboo topic, but think about what happens if you don't bring it up and somebody could have gotten all of their loans forgiven and you decided not to bring it up because it's taboo. And that cost that person the opportunity to have a life-changing event happen for their finances, right? So I would just say, get over that kind of angst about talking about finances and just make sure everybody in the office, maybe even, you know, ask your supervisor, somebody, hey, can I make an announcement? Or can I just send out an email to the group, but like letting them know about the PSLF waiver? Obviously, just you can point people to the studentaid.gov resources. We do really want as many people as possible to get access to this. So I'm going to get maybe one more NSLDS file, Megan, if you want to keep answering some questions.
Sure. So there are some questions about if you're not currently working in public service right now, if you're able to take advantage of this. So the short answer is yes. I had someone that said, I have loans since 2004. I may have some employment that's considered public service, maybe about 4 years. What if I do not plan to work in public sector anymore? Is there any point to me applying for PSLF? I already consolidated a couple of years ago. So answer to this is there any point? If you don't plan on going back into public service, probably not. So PSLF is an all or nothing program, meaning you have to have 120 payments of qualifying work history to get the loans forgiven. If you only have 4 years of credit, there's no partial loan forgiveness. And if you never plan on going back into public service full time, then the PSLF waiver is not going to be impactful to you. Definitely make sure you check out the 10 or the 20,000 of cancellation that's coming out though. That might be able to help out. But to kind of stem off of that question, if you are someone who did work full-time, let's say from 2008 to 2019, but you retired, you made payments during that time frame, but you're no longer working in public service, then yes, you did have the 10 years of qualifying employment history. So you would definitely want to submit an employment certification form for that time period. And even though you're not working there now, during this PSLF waiver period, they will review your loan history and your employment history, and you could be eligible for immediate loan cancellation. I thought that was important to touch on there because I saw it a couple of times. Let's see. Do we know what income-driven is based off of? Tax return versus some other income recertification? So when you apply for an income-driven plan, the application links back to the most recent tax return on file. So that would probably be 2021 for most people. It could be 2020 if you did not file for 2021 yet. There is an option after you link to the tax return that asks you if your income has decreased since that tax return, which if it has, you could say yes, and then you could submit a pay stub to use instead of the tax return. That's one way to, or just one fact to know about the income-driven plan. If you're already in the PSLF program, do I need to redo my IDR? So no, there is no requirement for anyone to update their income until after July 1st, 2023. Your loan file in studentaid.gov should tell you when your anniversary date is. You have to sign into your studentaid.gov account. You would go to your loan details and keep clicking on loan details, and it'll show you for your loans the loan anniversary date that you would have to go by to update your income. And it cannot be sooner than July 1st, 2023. So for example, if your anniversary says, you know, on the file, even right now, that it's, you know, January 1, 2023, it's been pushed 12 months to January 2024. So that's a way that you can tell when you're going to have to update income. Can you explain the benefits of pay versus repay? So pay and repay, these two plans are the cheapest income-driven plans. They're based on 10% of your discretionary income. Pay as you earn is a plan that will allow you to exclude your spouse's income if you're filing taxes married separately. So that's only relevant if you're married. Repay does not allow you to exclude spousal income if you're married. That's just how that plan was designed. And repay has an interest subsidy. That's maybe a little too complicated to get into right now, but that's just an interest discount. Doesn't matter too much if you're going towards PSLF though. And pay as you earn, another benefit to that is it has a payment cap or a limit on how much the payment can be. So those are some of the differences. There is a breakdown between those plans on studentaid.gov. Yeah, go ahead, Travis.
So I think we have got a couple more people's info to analyze here. I think these are also good examples because this is a what I would call like a moderate debt kind of example, right? Like most public servants don't have $300,000 of debt. So this is a somebody with $24,000 of loans, direct loans on the extended plan. So I think this is really interesting, Megan, because you and I would know that someone probably might not be able to qualify for an income-based plan under the existing rules because you'd have to have like an IDR payment that would be less than the standard 10-year plan to get on into an income-based plan in this case. So this person would have to have a payment like less than $240 a month to be able to get a qualifying IDR payment. And that's one of the big flaws of PSLF, I think. So this is a perfect example of why the loan rules are so different, you know, from now until October 31st. So the extended plan, you know, is something that does not count for PSLF. But if this person simply, and this person has the same amount of payment counts on all of his or her loans. So this person only needs to apply. And if they were working since about 2016 or so for a qualifying nonprofit employer, excuse me, this would be a way this person could get 100 of the 120 months of credit towards PSLF added on to their account. And I'm going to show another one that's quite similar. This person has the same number of payments made across all of his or her loans, but this person's on the extended graduated plan, which is another plan that does not count for PSLF. But during this waiver program, if you apply for it, all those payment counts do apply. And to think about how you would give expert advice to these individuals, we would need to look at options for them to get onto a payment that would be low enough for them to get forgiveness on some sort of remaining amount of loans, right, Megan? So one thing that we are looking at is the Biden IDR plan. So on our studentloanplanner.com site, if you go into calculators and student loan forgiveness, we're working on a beta version of our student loan forgiveness calculator. And then you could compare that as well. You could look at the Parent Plus calculator if you're a Parent Plus borrower to see what the payments would be on the ICR plan. But let's just say that this person is family of one and they have 24,000 of loans and then let's say 50,000 income. And again, this is in beta, so forgive us if some of the stuff, you know, is not accurate. But I think what we can see here is like this person's got 50,000 of income. Is this debt all from undergrad? This is the part of the new Biden plan that's coming out in July. They want to know what percent of your debt is from graduate school. If this is all undergrad debt, this person would now get to pay 5% of income on every amount of income above 225% of the poverty line. So this is the new Biden IDR plan. So if this person could strategically figure out, this person with like 7 of 10 years towards PSLF, who has this, you know, 20 or 40K balance, could this person qualify for Biden IDR? And if so, what would his or her payment be? So in this case, Megan, it looks like this person's payment could be as low as like 80 a month, which is better than 260, right? Or even one of them was paying 540. And so we can see in this case, the repay plan at 250 a month is about the same amount of money as the person that was paying on the extended plan, I think. But this is a qualifying plan. So this person could get on the repay plan and pay about, you know, $3,000 a year for 3 years. And that's $9,000 total. You're still getting the majority of your debt forgiven thanks to the PSLF waiver. If you decide if it makes sense to strategically put off getting onto the Biden plan until that's available, because you know you're going to stay in public service, that's going to save you even more money. That would be like paying $1,000 a year versus paying $3,000 a year for the next 3 years. So in total, this person could literally only pay $3,000 more to get forgiveness on $24,000. So a lot of times we talk about our consults for, you know, people that have large balances. That's true. You know, the bigger your balance, the more money you, somebody that knows the rules like us can save you. But even people that have very modest balances right now can still get substantial savings just by knowing the rules, as well as just being able to model these new income-based plans that are going to be being released later this year. So there's a lot of strategy to this. The stuff we are covering in today's webinar is like the basics, get the meat and potatoes, and then let's get the garnishing, right? That's kind of our our hope is that you would get that minimum basic stuff added on to your loans. And there's all kinds of strategy on top of that that you can do that's going to get really big ROI.
You want me to answer a couple questions that are coming in?
Sure.
A couple questions I kept seeing is, does contract work for the state or the government count towards PSLF? And so the answer is no, unfortunately. Your employment has to be directly with the eligible employer. So it has to be directly with the government or a nonprofit entity. You cannot be a contractor. You also have to be a W-2 employee. So you have to be paid a W-2 employee full-time. So considered full-time by the employer. Contract work does not qualify. Let's see. What if we paid off some loans? Do we still get credit for those? So no, if you have completely paid off your student loans, no, you cannot get credit towards PSLF. You may be able to ask for a refund though. You can get a refund for any payments you've made through your servicer as far back as March 13th, 2020, because that's when the COVID forbearance started. So if you made payments between March 13th, 2020 and now, you can go back, ask your loan servicer, give them a call and ask for a refund, and they'll be able to give that back to you. But if you paid off your loans long ago, this is not applicable to you.
I should say this while you're putting that in there. The good news is that I asked some of the consultants to specifically open up some additional availability, because obviously we really needed people to open up availability with the PSLF waiver ending at the end of October. Megan, you're killing us because you're taking vacation around the end of the month. I wonder why.
Not vacation, technically. I'm getting married on the 21st, so I will be out.
Oh, shoot. Well, now I feel really bad. Well, that's a very good reason. Congratulations.
Yeah,
so I will say, yeah, we get a lot of congratulations. So yeah, I apologize. You can let me have it. So that's a good reason. But I did ask some of our other consultants, we have like 10 of us, I think, to open up availability for people that needed the help to get this looked over by an expert before this waiver expires, because I would say any public servant that has student loans, I feel very confident that we're going to pay for our fee, honestly. I mean, our stuff is at a minimum, you're going to feel a lot better after the call, but 95% of you are going to save a lot of money from talking to us as well. So studentloanplanner.com/book is the link to book a consult with one of our team of experts. I thought we might do like maybe one more NSLDS file before we wrap up. This one is a really interesting one. So this one is, goodness sakes, is this interesting. So this one has two direct consolidated loans, unsubsidized loans, right? And one of them's got 99 months of payment credit, supposedly, and one of them looks like it might have zero. And there's also, of course, there's a bunch of parent loans in this. So this could be a double consolidation, possibly. This person has like a lot of payment credit going back, wow, all the way until 1985. Now, these are paid in full. So that's not, you know, something that would be looked at for the consolidation. But these loans are parent plus loans. Look like they're in repayment for a short amount of time. And these, it looks like we're in repayment going back to 2013. So I think with this being an unsubsidized loan, right, Megan, that the strategy here, depending on when this person consolidated, which it looks like this loan consolidation was April, right? So that after 180 days, is it 180 exactly that you can go back and consolidate online, Megan?
Yep, 180. So you should be able to do it October 15th or 13th.
Right after the potential injunction that, just kidding, that could make a big mess. I mean, I think that it's fine to do it then. I would probably also, maybe you could also just do like a paper application if you wanted to get it in a little sooner. And then you could pair that with applying for the PSLF waiver just one more extra time. And this person is a case where they've already done step one of the double consolidation, so they could get access to the best repayment plans, like pay and repay, potentially really repay in this case, and maybe the Biden IDR plan too. And you could get PSLF waiver credit. So you could get 99 months of credit added to this $229,000 loan.
Yeah.
It's a huge deal. This person's saving probably six figures talking to us. I wouldn't be too surprised if this person already talked to us, actually.
maybe they started it with us.
Yeah, probably. And you can still also, you can book a follow-up consult as well. We kind of overhauled our system recently. So let me just pull up that. So this is our site, right? studentloanplanner.com, get help. And then you just book the plan there. And then there's new clients and existing clients. So most people will be clicking on the you know, the new clients button. The only difference is the existing clients is $100 cheaper because you've already had initial plan with us. And there's still, you know, a decent availability of plans there, right? So there's still a decent number of options based off of how many people are on this call. My guess is by the end of tonight, we might not have any more availability in October. I'm not sure. But I would just look at these spots and try to get a spot as soon as you can, because like I said, literally on Halloween, we could still get people access to the PSLF waiver because we really do know what we're doing. And in case anyone wants to double check the reviews that we've got, so we've got 1,800 reviews. Our average rating, if you kind of sum it all up, I think it's like 4.97 out of 5 stars. And what I like about these is you can really click through these and read people's real comments, right? Because like people could just go in and put like fake reviews. But I think if you actually read these, you can tell that we're the best in the world at doing this. Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying that, you know, in an unhumble way. It's just because this all we do is we just do this all day, every day, and we love doing it. I mean, I absolutely love doing this. It's like so exciting to change someone's life. So yeah, so these are 5-star reviews like today. Again, if you need this help, studentloanplanner.com, and then the get help button, you can also click on get your custom plan and just book that call. I really do promise that you're not going to be sorry about that. So I will put the link in the chat again, studentloanplanner.com/book. Any like last minute words of encouragement about this, Megan? This is very stressful for a lot of people. It's a lot. And psychologically, like how should somebody handle the waiting game for this PSLF waiver process?
Yep. And I know I tell people on my consultations that the waiting is the hardest part. You know, the paperwork is hard, but the waiting is the hardest part. So I think just, you know, if you've submitted your documentation, you have the receipts. I think that gives you some peace of mind to know that you're in there, you've done what you needed to do. It is out of your hands at this point. So now it's time for them to process and review your accounts. So I would say, don't focus on student loans while they're processing things. I think pay attention, you know, make sure you pay attention to your email for any updates, but focus on other things. If you've already done what you can do, there's no use, you know, stressing over it every single day or checking your account every single day until you actually get some formal notice. I know that's way easier said than done, but I think, you know, as long as you've done your job, you've submitted everything you need to submit, this will come to fruition over time. We're seeing it every day. I tell my clients or the consultations that I have to send me the screenshots when they get their loans forgiven or when their payment counts get updated. I get screenshots, no joke, every single day. And I know a lot of members on our team do as well. So this process is working. The time and effort that you're putting into this and the time you spent today listening to our conversations, it's worth it. This effort is worth it. You will get there.
And I'll say too, the cost, like some people make $40,000, $30,000 a year, and that's a lot to spend. I get that. I really do. Mm-hmm. That's why we tried to do this webinar. If you cannot afford our help, then go to like recommended PSLF Facebook groups and then join the one that you are that's most relevant for you. So teachers, pharmacists, lawyers, we've got one for literally most every profession in here. Government employees, nonprofit professionals. So join that group and then just ask for help, and your fellow people in your profession will help. They really will. These are great people. These are people from our community mostly that have just joined this group, and a lot of them have already gotten the help they need and just go in and help other people. So we love that. But at the same time, this is really important. I personally, if I could afford it, I would not watch a YouTube video on how to fix my clogged toilet and then go try to attempt it myself. This is something that unfortunately, because we bought a house during the pandemic, we've had to deal with multiple times, TMI. But you know, we called the plumber unfortunately multiple times, and that's a smart decision if you either don't have the expertise or you don't have the comfort level to get something done you need to get done. I think you could go try to listen to all of our podcasts, follow the email newsletter, go back and watch our YouTube channel. This is going to be posted to our YouTube channel. You can go back and like rewatch this to like go through the stuff that we talked about today on how to consolidate, how to apply. But I actually do really hope that you go ahead and take that leap and book a call if you haven't already, because I know it's going to be worth it. It's going to be life-changing, and it's going to be some of the best money you've spent in terms of getting relief from the stress and anxiety about student loans. That's one reason why we don't have a recurring fee model too. We're not trying to milk you for every last dollar. Our costs have been going up like many businesses during inflation, during the pandemic and everything. That's why we charge what we charge. But we also charge that because we already don't have that much availability. I did ask our consultants, hey, please go ahead and open availability for this webinar tonight so that people that need the help can get it before October 31st. Because that's when all the rules are waived. That's when getting a consult is going to be the most valuable, because we're going to be able to get a lot of people help that otherwise never could have got it. Thanks so much for everyone that joined today. We're again posting this recording in the YouTube channel, and I'll just put it one last time in the chat, studentloanplanner.com/book. If you need a plan or a follow-up plan, please get one to get the help you need. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, Megan. Thank you, SLP team. Please go tell other people about the PSLF waiver opportunity. Thanks so much, everyone. Have a wonderful night.
Thanks.